88.5 KCSN. Jeff Penfield here, joined live in studio with the Jayhawks. They're going to be playing at the Fonda tomorrow night. A great show coming up. And Paging Mr. Proust is the new record that they have out. Gary Louris joining me right now. Thank you so much for coming on by today.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeff.
You've talked about this in past interviews where you've kind of been called, you're almost like outsiders. There's not really a crew of musicians that you always say, it's the Jayhawks and this and this and this. That's always, you could say that they're part of that scene.
Yeah, right.
Do you feel that's kind of been advantageous at all? Or are you not really sure after all these years of being out there and doing what you do?
I don't think it's been advantageous. I think I'm somewhat envious of those bands that have like a scene that, and they have this kind of infrastructure. It was a little bit more in the hardcore and punk rock stuff where you'd have this kind of built-in street people who would just or just being part of a of something that you felt was bigger. But in other ways, it's been good for us because we haven't been quite as locked in with maybe some elements that we didn't feel a part of or identified with musically. And so, you know, it's worked for us, but I can't say that we like being the lone wolf or anything like that.
Hailstones and butterscotch, firewalls, forget-me-nots. Baby, won't you take a chance on me? Heels stuck in, braced to fall, hung my holster on your wall. Baby, won't you take a chance on me? Flies buzz around your pretty head, dancing upon your chin. The devil is in her eyes. The devil is in her eyes. The devil is in her eyes. David Foster Wallace said, what goes on inside your head is just too complicated to describe. Two bums almost came to blows. Christmas comes and Christmas goes, stealing all my thunder with your smile. Flies buzz around your pretty head, dancing upon your chin. The devil is in her eyes. The devil is in her eyes. The devil is in her eyes. Thank you.
you have a lot of freedom with what you've been able to do. You've had a, not only with, you know, the way that you set up the record, where you have a fan base that believes in you, that has pledged for your record because you do have your own sound and your own scene. How did you kind of approach this record in terms of when you went into it? Were there any goals that you had in terms of what you wanted to get out of it?
Well, yeah, we do have freedom. I think some of that comes with age and some confidence in yourself that you don't, you know, we don't, one goal we don't have is like, how can we sell records and what do we have to do to please people? Because although we like people to like us, I think we have to do something that feels honestly inspired. And so I, this record is different. You know, I had problems with drugs and alcohol, especially drugs, and I went to rehab about 4 years ago, and I came out of it with clarity and kind of took a little bit to come back to music, but when I did, I started writing music with no particular destination where it was going to end up. You know, I didn't know, I didn't think there was going to be another Jayhawks record, so I think it opened up the vistas a little bit and allowed me to write some things that pushed our envelope a bit. And then once the band, it became clear that I really needed the Jayhawks, I needed that structure, and not just any structure, but I needed these guys. And that doing the Jayhawks would also feed some other things I do, you know, like more electronic stuff or soundscapey things or drone-y stuff. I can still do all that, and it doesn't preclude it if I do the Jayhawks. We started writing, collaborating together and jamming together. And so, you know, that's why there's quite a bit of a different mix. As far as goals, I think, one goal I had was I knew that we had these great singers of Karen and Tim, Karen Grotberg and Tim O'Regan. And sometimes I didn't feel like we were maximizing that. So I really wanted to try to get those background vocals or other vocals more to the forefront. And that's, I think we've done some of that. It's never enough, though.
I drove out to Hubert and Humphrey at 5 in the morning with a carry-on bag and a Southwest ticket in my hand, in my hand. You're waiting at the gate in the same dress you wore the night I met you. We raced past the desk clerk. She looked up from her book of work and she smiled.
Are you, and here we are.
so many different aspects of the record that you were able to kind of expand out what you were doing, but B, take what you already had and really use it to your advantage. Not only the people who are in the band, the sounds that you've had before, but really expanding upon it. And you almost see it, you know, I kind of feel like you see it in that JFK photo, because it is an old school JFK, but it was also that futuristic 60s right. look too. So it was almost, it really seemed like it reflected the record well, along with even, you know, going down to the typeface where, you know, where it says the Jayhawks and the album title, it was really almost like, it's futuristic, but it's also, you know, rooted in the past, which is really cool.
Yeah, and I didn't really think about that at the time, because I worked on the record cover along with a friend of mine. And but yeah, when you're talking to the listeners about JFK, just to clarify, you're talking about
the airport. JFK Airport,
which was formerly called Idlewild. And the cover is a picture of the TWA terminal designed by a great architect named Eero Saarinen. And once we saw that photo, we just, it's the first cover of a record that we put out since Hollywood Town Hall that I've really loved the cover. And it is true, but I didn't think about it, but it was pointed out to me later. It's like this retro photo. It's from 59 or something like that, 1959 or something, but it looks, still looks futuristic. And, you know, most of the things with the Jayhawks, I don't think we have any new influences, but for so long we've had a lot of different sides of us that haven't always emerged. And, you know, as I've been fond of saying, I knew a lot more about Brian Eno than I knew about Graham Parsons. You know, growing up, I was more of a prog rock and art rock guy and British rock thing guy. So all these things have been bubbling under these different styles that are on this record, but this one, certain heads peeked out a little bit more.
Stick around for the ride. Couldn't
And you did kind of expand out what who you brought into the fold with this record, because you did have a couple of producers you brought on board, Peter Buck and Tucker Martine. A lot of times when you hear from musicians, a lot of them have different ways that producers work. Like, some will have like a heavy hand and they're like there and they give them like, okay, we want to have this sound. And then on the other side of things, you have ones who are a little bit more open or just there might give you a little suggestion here and there. How was it working with those two on this album? What was their role as far as
well, a little bit of all that. I mean, Peter will be the first one to tell you he's not the knob twiddler. He doesn't get in front of the screen and sit there and try to punch in things. You know, he's the guy who sits back, has the big picture kind of thing, idea, and helped us with picking the songs and pre-production, and just would kind of be that he was like the vibe guy. You know, he would just say, you know, I think you got the take. You guys are, you know, and Tucker was more in the trenches. You know, he was engineering, but he was also producing, and he was a little bit more about the details. A big picture guy too, but they worked well together. It doesn't always work well to have a team of producers. It's kind of like you can lose the thread of who's actually in charge. But these two guys worked really well together.
And I think a lot of that's their experience. I mean, Tucker's really built his resume over the years, and obviously Peter with REM and everything that he's done. And if there is a band that I think that's great for you to link to, it is REM. They had a lot of those same things where they were one of those earlier bands that kind of forged their own way and had a different sound than so many others that were coming out at the time.
That's true. Yeah, there was nobody else quite like REM, and I have to say there's nobody quite like our band. We don't quite fit into a particular gang.
Exactly. And you can still hear that in this record as well. Once again, playing at the Fonda Theater tomorrow night, the Jayhawks, Paging Mr. Proust is the new record, and it's 88.5 KCSN.